Please pray with me. Oh God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and work. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. Amen. Good morning. My name is Heidi Haverkamp, and it is a pleasure to be here at St. Paul's with all of you. It was wonderful to be here yesterday for a workshop, and it is so good to be here in worship and sharing the word with you this morning. Jenny and John invited me here because of my second book, a book about Lent called Holy Solitude, Lenten Reflections with Saints, Hermits, Prophets, and Rebels. It's a book about solitude as a spiritual practice of sorts, and reflections about all kinds of friends of God who spent time alone in some way or another, some because they wanted to and some by force, but all who came out the other side with a deeper connection to God, to themselves, and to other people. Folks often think that solitude sounds selfish or lonely. In my book, I'm trying to say that solitude means to create a space around and within yourself to pray more deeply. And what I've learned as I've explored this myself and read about Christians who've explored it is that, you know, prayer is not so much something that we do, but something that God wants to do in us. Namely, that we might sit still a little while and let God love on us a little bit. Even if we're in pain, or lonely, or frustrated, just pausing for a moment, collecting ourselves within and without, to open ourselves to the love of God. That can be life-changing. Even just for a few seconds, maybe while you pause at a stoplight, maybe while you wait in line, maybe you would take a little walk down the hall from your office or in your house, or you would take a walk down the block and back. Maybe you might drive somewhere in your car in just peaceful silence. Maybe you could spend a whole hour at a library or a park or some other place that you like just to be. Maybe you might spend a whole half day hiking or at some other beautiful place. Maybe you would take a whole weekend and go on retreat somewhere, maybe at a monastery or some other spot, just to take a little bit of solitude for yourself and for God. You know, whatever amount of time is right for your life, for this time in your life, taking some time to let God just love you is a way that I found we can love other people better if we let God love us a little bit. All the Christians who I've studied who've spent some time in solitude, and some of them spent years, my goodness, in solitude, came out loving God and their neighbor more deeply. St. Paul himself, after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. A man named Anthony of Egypt spent 20 years all by himself out in the desert. Catherine of Siena, Julian of Norwich, Thomas Merton. Maybe you've heard of some of those folks, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've heard the saying before that loving your neighbor goes both ways. That you can only love your neighbor as well as you love yourself. To love your neighbor as yourself, you also have to love yourself well. We can love our neighbor if we don't love ourselves, but sometimes that's a kind of love that's a little bit strained or has some guilt mixed in with it or has some need for control mixed in with it, not just free compassion or love. You know, sometimes it seems like Lent is a season where we're supposed to punish ourselves. But Lent is actually a season where we're supposed to grow in love. Jesus went off into the wilderness for 40 days, all by himself, to grow in love. It wasn't easy. It wasn't like going to a spa. But that was his purpose, not to punish himself, but to grow closer to God in love. In today's readings, we heard a lot about reconciliation. That in Christ, God wants to be reconciled with us. And I hear in that, God wants to love us and wants us to receive that love. God invites us to be made new, Paul says, a new creation in Christ. Paul says, God does not count our trespasses against us, but just wants to be connected to us, wants to see us grow, wants to see reconciliation for us, not just with God himself, but with one another, maybe even with ourselves. Reconciliation. You know, reconciliation is also a rite that the church offers. There are two beautiful versions in the prayer book that you can read for your own reflection, your own prayer. They're quite wonderful, beautiful, healing words. Or you can meet with a priest and you can receive those words as a sacramental rite. You know, it used to be called confession, but now we focus on reconciliation. We focus not on our action of confessing, but of God's action of reconciliation. We focus on the fact that God wants to be in relationship with us, and that this is a sacramental rite of love and relationship, not punishment. Reconciliation is what the prodigal son came home to, and what his older brother, although he never left home, can't seem to figure out, even though it seems like he's hungry for it himself. I think reconciliation is something that we all hunger for in some way, to feel that we are seen by God for who we are, warts and all, sins and all, loved and redeemed and invited for another try at this life, which is so hard. And God offers that to us all the time. A new start, new life, to be a new creation. That's what Lent and Easter are all about, after all, going from death to new life. But what does solitude have to do with reconciliation, anyway? The prodigal son had to spend a little time in solitude, a solitude he did not choose, in that pig pen, before he realized what he needed to do, and I think also what he was really longing for. He thought he knew what he wanted, and he went after it, and he squandered his father's inheritance for it. But then everything ground to a halt and fell apart, and suddenly he was stuck in this pig pen alone, miserable. But it was there that he was able to realize what he really desired, what he really longed for, what new life really meant for him. Jesus spent 40 days in the desert, also getting in touch with what it was he really longed for. Jonah got stuck in the belly of a whale. Hagar was out alone in the wilderness with her son. And you know, those times in solitude helped make room inside those folks, in them and in their lives, to receive a reconciliation with God that they desperately needed, to help them realize what it was they were really longing for, what God wanted for them. Maybe we sometimes all need a little bit of solitude to bump into the Almighty ourselves. Maybe sometimes God needs to push us into it a little bit. Sometimes we need a little nudge to make room inside of us and around us for God to come within. In my book, I offer solitude not as a punishment or as an escape from life, or even not as a way to sort of sit down and write out your goals. No, just as a way to sit still and feel God's love for you. Just as a way to open yourself to the Holy Spirit moving in your life. as a way to grow your relationship with Jesus Christ. I invite you to use solitude in the way that's right for you, and there are as many ways to do that as there are people. A way to open yourself to the presence of God in your life. I realize solitude can seem a little scary, because when you open yourself to God, sometimes you open yourself to some hard things too, some feelings or some memories. Or solitude can seem kind of pointless. What's this for? Why am I doing this? Or like a luxury, something that you don't have time for. And I get that. But you know, solitude can be a formidable force in your life and in the life of the whole world. At least that's what I learned as I started to study these folks who'd used it in their own lives. One of my favorite rebel saints is Catherine of Siena, who spent 3 years alone in a closet in her parents' house. Now, that does not sound, not something that I recommend to everybody, but that is something that Catherine longed for with all her heart, and her parents did not understand and did not really want her to do this, but off she went, and she shut the door, and she just was with Christ in this room. She left once a week to go to Mass down the hill, and she had all kinds of odd experiences or things that would seem odd to us, but as a medieval woman were what she was longing for. But then after 3 years of feeling loved by Christ, suddenly he was no longer in the room with her. He was outside the door, and he was knocking on the door and saying, "Catherine, it's time to come out now. It's time to leave your solitude and come out into the world." And so she did. She came out of the room, and her family was surprised to see her. She had dinner with her family. Then she started helping around the house a little bit more. And then she went outside into the streets of Siena, and she started serving the poor and the sick out in the streets. And then she started showing up at the houses of the rich and powerful, or she started writing letters to generals and aristocrats and telling them, "Stop making war on each other. Stop treating the poor the way you are unfairly." And many of them listened to her. And then she started working on the Pope himself. And she began going after him and writing him letters, because the papacy had moved from Rome, the holy city of Rome, to Avignon in France for all kinds of political and hedonistic reasons. She said, "It's time to come back to Rome." And it took a while, but the Pope listened to little Catherine of Siena and finally moved the papacy back to Rome. And I don't think anyone would have listened to Catherine in any of those ways, or that she would have had the bravery to do that without the incredible well of Christ's love that she had inside of her because of those crazy 3 years, right? Again, not recommending it, but wow. You know, Martin Luther King was no hermit himself. And of course, he was married, but he spent a lot of time in solitude also. As suggested by his spiritual teacher, who was sort of just coming back out into the public knowledge, a man named Howard Thurman. And Howard Thurman was a professor and a pastor, and he was a contemplative. He was a deeply mystical man. And he is not known for his role in marches or sit-ins, but he was kind of a spiritual chaplain and director for the civil rights movement, and for Dr. King in particular. So Howard Thurman, especially when Martin Luther King was stabbed at a book signing, and his doctor said, "Dr. King, you're going to need to spend some time at home. You're going to need to spend at least 5 days or a week." And Howard Thurman said, "No, Martin, you need to spend some time by yourself. You need to spend at least 2 weeks alone, just so you can brood about the movement and recollect yourself and see what God is calling you to do and just come back to that love of God inside of you." And that's what Dr. King did. He spent 2 weeks all by himself. And the movement was stronger because of it. Solitude can be a powerful force. And so I wrote a book just to encourage people to try it a little bit in a way that might be right for them, to create some space of openness for God in your life. Lots of practical suggestions and a whole backup army of other folks who've tried it in lots of different ways and how it affected their life. I pray this Lent that you might feel moved in your life to make some time for solitude and for God in a way that's right for you. To let God love on you. Just to let God love on you a little bit and fill you up so that you can love other people better. So that maybe you can believe that we can all just to work on believing that truly it is only God's love that really ever transforms anything in this world. And so let us make space for that love to move in us and through us, for our neighbor, in Christ's name. Amen.